Welcome to the Blood Cancer Experience, a podcast by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. This podcast connects people affected by a blood cancer to resources that inform, support, educate, and empower. When it comes to cancer, it's hard to navigate the unknown, and there are no easy answers. We're here to bring you the information you need to help make sense of every step of the blood cancer experience. My name is Montana Skirka, and I will be your guest host for today's episode. I work as a yoga and meditation teacher and integrative wellness educator with a focus on providing patients with a holistic approach to mental health and well-being. I offer one-on-one programs and group self-care circles for chronic illness in Toronto, which incorporate mindful movement, breathwork, and reflective creative expression to promote the healing process. As a childhood cancer survivor, I am dedicated to helping others navigate their journey to health and wellness, mind, body, and spirit. Today on the show, I am speaking with Dr. Samantha Beauchart and Rachel Sutherland. Dr. Beauchart is a family physician who serves as the Regional Indigenous Cancer Lead for the Southwest Regional Cancer Program. She enjoys teaching, learning, and building bridges between settlers and their systems and the original people of Turtle Island. Rachel is a member of Sturgeon Lake Cree Nation and the Indigenous Patient Navigator at the Southwest Regional Cancer Program. Her role is to support and advocate for First Nations and Métis patients and their families as they navigate through their cancer journey. Hello, thank you both so much for joining me. I'm so excited for this conversation.
Thank you so much for having us.
So I would love to get started by hearing a little bit about what led each of you to this role. I'll start with Dr. Beauchart. How did you get this role?
So, unfortunately, it was through tragedy that I came into this role. So my mother passed away from stage 4 colon cancer about 6 years ago. And as an Indigenous woman, I'm well aware that the rates of cancers in our communities is quite a lot higher than the average population. So it was kind of an ode to my mother, actually. I saw the role pop up and it was just, you know, if I can, I guess, assist or prevent, you know, the passing of one of my relatives, my community members, you know, family, then it would be worth it. So I took this role on. Rachel?
So I am a massage therapist. And when COVID hit, I was looking for something to supplement my income. And I took a position with the Southwest Aboriginal Health Access Center as a patient navigator. And through that, I was introduced to Indigenous health and really want to make a difference for other Indigenous people navigating the healthcare system. And the role of the Southwest Regional Cancer Program came up, and I took the opportunity.
That's amazing. Rachel, what kind of work are you doing at the center?
So across Ontario, through Ontario Health and Cancer Care Ontario, there are 10 Indigenous navigators and that cover 10 different regions. And we all work within our region to support and advocate for Indigenous patients and their families that are going through the cancer journey. I do anything from helping facilitate and coordinating access to cancer services for palliative care and for supportive care. I help address cultural and spiritual needs, connecting people with resources. And then I network with Indigenous and non-Indigenous partners to help make the cancer journey a culturally safe experience.
It's so important, and it's so important that we all understand the unique challenges that the Indigenous community is facing. Dr. Beauchart, I would love to hear a little bit about your day-to-day, and also, like, why are the rates of mortality so high? What are some of the unique challenges that the Indigenous communities are facing?
Sure, that's a really big question. So my day to day. So I work in many different roles, but under this role specifically, a lot of the work that I'm involved in with our team, and I just want to give a shout out to Lisa Jackson, who is a part of our team and kind of keeps me grounded in my work and lets me know when I'm needed here or there, everywhere. But a lot of the work I do is advocacy, education. You know, we hold a lot of prevention events, either organizing screening for our local communities or giving presentations, just providing that health literacy, explaining what cancer prevention is, explaining what screening is, what's available, how to access it, you know, just being present in community, getting to know leadership, community members, and just supporting Rachel if she has any issues with patients where she needs a little more of that medical sort of background that can help in that context. I just like to be available for the community in regards to all of those things. And then you did have a second part to that question. Oh, why are the rate of cancer or maybe the mortality high? What is the short answer? I don't know. It's so complicated, but, you know, a community that has been basically faced a genocide, right? And so the effects of colonization, the effects of the destruction of our family system, the effects of loss of our language and our culture, the chronic stress of living in a state of fight or flight, and then not having access to primary care. You know, there aren't many access points for primary care, specifically in our First Nations communities. You know, and when you're focused on housing, water, food security, grief, a lot of loss based on the consequences of the things our communities have been through here. You know, the other sort of health related things kind of fall to the wayside, right? So we have to, you know, we're in a healing phase right now. And, you know, hopefully in the future, we can bring those rates down. I hope that sort of answers your question.
It certainly did. And I think you're pointing to how cancer, you know, it's not an isolated thing. There are so many complicated things that are intertwined that cancer affects and that are affected by it. And I think that that's a theme that that's come up time and time again, but it's so pertinent and important for this community and for this topic. And so the work that you're doing is so important. And Rachel, I would love to hear some of the challenges, what the communities that you serve are like, and what are some of the challenges that you seem to come up against in your day-to-day?
So in our area, there are five First Nations that fall in our area: Chippewa of Nawash Unceded First Nations, Chippewa of Saugeen First Nations, Chippewa of the Thames First Nations, Munsee Delaware Nation, and Oneida Nation of the Thames, as well as, or that doesn't include, the Inuit and Métis and urban Indigenous people that are in the community. And I think one of the important things is to note that Indigenous people aren't all the same, and their needs and requirements vary. And so I try to provide individual person-centered care and an approach when I'm interacting with each person. And the different things that come up and challenges that I face, I think one of the big things that I notice is, and it's a problem that's across the board, is lack of affordable, safe housing. It is one of the needs. And my job is just listening to people and supporting them with their individual needs that come up. And I think I sort of talked around your question.
Not at all. I mean, again, you're highlighting that this is such a multifaceted problem, and I'm sure it's very difficult to, you know, want to help. And how can you provide affordable, you know, you don't have that power or ability. And so I can only imagine how difficult it is to really hold space for all of the unique needs that your communities are facing. And I think that that's really helpful. What are some other, you know, you said that maybe different communities need different support and they are different. Can you give us a little more examples about, you know, maybe how you would treat one community or certain challenges that come up?
Some of the challenges are transportation, and some communities, there's further distance to them. So I may be supporting people arranging transportation or accommodations if they're coming from out of town. If they're coming from out of town, then I'm available to support them in person, in London. I'm just trying to think of other, the needs I think are just so unique to the person. It can be families that have large families traveling with them, or people coming with not as many family supports. It could be people wanting to return to their communities so that they can have palliative care and die at home, but the care and support may not be there. There are just so many unique situations that come up for individuals.
What are some of the misconceptions around Indigenous health? Do you think that our Canadian society has an understanding? I mean, I would guess no. I mean, you're teaching me so much already. So what do you think some misconceptions are, and what do you wish people kind of understood about these communities? Maybe Dr. Beauchart.
Sure. One of the things that like the broader community tends to not know about or misunderstand is that the entire society in which we're living right now and how it was built and the values it's built on and the way, I guess it's the worldview, right? Is very different. And so when you have a group of people whose values and worldview are so vastly different from the mainstream, it can lead to like a lot of misunderstanding or labeling of that group as being different. And often, obviously, we hear negative stereotypes and negative things about our community, but our values are just, you know, from what I understand and my own values as an Indigenous woman, I see the world so differently than a lot of my peers. You know, we see time differently. We see spirituality differently. We see each other differently. The value of family system, the value of relationship, you know, and the lack of value towards, like, for example, money or you know, things and accolades and achievement, like, the values are just different. And so, you know, you could go on and on about the differences, but I think that's one of the things that the broader society doesn't quite grasp. Like, it's hard to see through someone else's lens. And as my father's ancestors are from Germany and my mother's Indigenous, so I grew up with both of those. We call it two-eyed seeing, right? You could, out of one eye, you see the world through the broader society's way, and then through the other eye, you see it in an Indigenous lens. And the differences are so vast, and you know, but they exist along a spectrum. So, you know, all Indigenous people across the world have similar values, but our modern society has gone so far from those things. we're trying right now to, and I think society now is starting to look for Indigenous knowledge because it, I think it realizes it kind of went off in a way that's leading us down a bad path. So we're here now to sort of share our knowledge and the way we see things and the way we value things to bring us back together as a community, broader community.
That's beautiful. That's exactly, as you were speaking, that was exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, now there's so many people who are starting to wake up to the fact that this knowledge is so valuable for everyone, that our values are very detrimental. You know, we're destroying the earth, we're destroying our communities, and how absolutely devastating that, you know, while we're slowly waking up and then recognizing that this genocide occurred and that these communities are still suffering. So I guess I wonder, you know, what, there's so much that we can learn, you know, what is, how would, you know, in an ideal world, how would the approach to cancer care or healthcare in Indigenous community, how would it be different than on Indigenous communities? And, you know, what would a better system even look like for those communities? Rachel, I would love to hear from you.
I think what gets overlooked is the actual history of what happened to Indigenous people. And I think there's a huge knowledge gap that Dr. Bouchard hit on that Canadians are missing. And I think it's really important to take time to learn the true history and what's really, really happened, the real history of what Indigenous people have experienced and the resilience that's there. And I think it engaging in a real holistic way of treating people that includes opportunities to engage in their cultural and spiritual practices, to incorporate traditional medicines if they wish, and ceremonies, and have these things welcomed in spaces like hospitals, and to diminish the stereotypes that are associated with those things, and making giving Indigenous people an opportunity to feel safe and proud of those healing aspects that they bring with them and include in their treatment journey.
Can I elaborate on I agree with what Rachel's saying, but, you know, our own health systems, you know, it starts from birth, right? And having what we need, right? Having our family, having our culture, having our housing, having clean water, having safety, and then having, you know, our own healthcare sovereignty, our own infrastructure, our own healers and physicians. You know, right now we're just starting to build that capacity because historically our people were not allowed to be educated. They weren't allowed in these systems. There's barriers to get in these systems. And, you know, even when I went to medical school, my intention was always to serve my First Nation community. But when I finished, I realized there's no spaces for me in my community to do my work because there hasn't been any physicians from my nation, right? So we're just like on this precipice of our young people starting to want to do this work and be allowed in these spaces. And that's just crazy to think, you know. I think moving forward, though, not only do we need healthcare infrastructure and individuals with the education, but we need individuals who understand our own healing methods, which are very land-based, spiritually based, relationship-based. You know, we need physicians who will work with ceremonial people and understand what that means. And that's coming. It's all coming. It's just, you know, I feel like we're just starting this in this region. So, yeah. relationship is at the center of everything. Relationship with each other, relationship with the land. And that is how our healing systems, that's what our healing systems are based on, is relationship with each other and ourselves, to be able to learn and grow and heal.
Can I add something to that? I think one of the questions that comes up for non-Indigenous people is then, how do I take what I'm listening to and hearing in this podcast and do something? And I think there's a space for allies. I think Indigenous people need non-Indigenous people to stand up and support them and be allies with them. And I really think that starts with two things, education and learning, and then engaging with Indigenous people.
Thank you. You're illustrating such a beautiful vision. And, you know, I can see from your, right from Dr. Beauchart, from your two-eyed seeing, that you can see this progress is happening and you're a part of it. And what a beautiful vision for like Indigenous people themselves to be trained and for them to have the infrastructure and the ability to infuse healthcare with your own traditions. And for non-Indigenous people to be able to find opportunities to ally and support in this really, really important mission. And I mean, I would love to hear, I mean, you said that relationship is the key to everything. So it sounds like to me, it's not only the relationships, you know, within the families, with the healthcare provider and the patient, and also the relationships that can be hopefully rebuilt slowly and surely between Indigenous and non-Indigenous communities. I would love to hear a little bit more about the importance of relationship and how that applies to your role in cancer care, and what us as a broader community can learn from that. Like, because I think, again, we're all coming to this understanding of how important the relationships are. So if you could speak more to that.
So I just turned 40 this year. Growing up in this society, your relationship with yourself first is something that's not really like emphasized upon, which is very different from our cultural way of teaching. You know, you go up to fast as a young person and you sit by yourself and learn about yourself without any distraction. So I'm just in the last several years coming to learn more about myself first and that having that healthy relationship with myself. And then when you achieve that with yourself, you're an example to it's like the drop of water in the pot, and right, it affects your relationships outward, your family first, your patients, right, your community. So that's, in our way of doing things, relationship with the self and with the family and community and nation was everything, and you can see how genocide and the colonization has just destroyed that from the outside in, right? And then, so as individuals, we have to do our own healing. We have to work on that relationship with ourselves, no matter where you're from or who you are. You know, that's really the first thing. If that's not good, then you can't be effective. So that's how I understand it.
And I think, just to add to that, that then coming into the medical system and in the hospital, when you have a culture that is based on relationships, that have had relationships torn apart, they're especially important in feeling safety and trust with medical professionals and anything that I can do and that can be done to build that relationship is really important. And I think it's a huge piece to building trust and safety for Indigenous people in the medical care.
So the healthcare system and all the people that work within it, that is where we're trying to make changes, right? So that those doctors, nurses, staff at cancer centers, the people that are meant to care for you, they can start to understand how important it is you know, what their feelings are towards Indigenous people, what their really true deep feelings are, because we're hypersensitive. We're aware when people are treating us poorly. We're hyper aware of racism. And so, you know, and that, and it exists. It exists, and it is everywhere in the health system towards our community and our people, and putting that light, shining that light of awareness on it can help it start to come out and then get worked on. So we're hoping health system people in positions of power start to do that reflection within themselves. What is their relationship with Indigenous people? What have they learned in the past? What are they holding on to? What negative thoughts? What feelings? You know, do they feel uncomfortable when they're, because they just don't know? No, they want to know more, and trying to break those barriers between each other.
What a beautiful way to bring it back to the relationship, that if there's underlying racism, of course, you can be the best doctor in the world, but you're just not going to be able to facilitate any care. That, like, trust and safety is really fundamental to all of our ability to heal. And what recommendations or advice would you give to, you know, someone who's listening who is part of an Indigenous community and who's looking for some resources or support for themselves going through cancer, or for someone in their family or community?
I think the piece of advice that I would give a patient or family that's looking for resources is that sometimes it can be overwhelming to find the right resource and to connect with it. And it's not to give up. So my suggestion is to not give up. And to if you're a cancer patient or a family member, reach out to one of the 10 Indigenous navigators through the cancer program in Ontario. Reach out to your local Indigenous navigator. And if not the navigator, ask your support team around you for direction in those resources.
Beautiful. Thank you. And in terms of allyship, you know, what can folks do who, whether they're Indigenous or not, just kind of want to support this mission and this work? What can we do in our everyday life?
I always recommend that every, you know, person who identifies as a Canadian, you know, they do their homework. There's so much information, obviously, accessible on the web these days. You can read about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. You can read about, you know, what happened with the church and the government. You can read all of the stories. There's so much on the web right now. So, and I do encourage people to take it upon themselves to do that work. Because we can't necessarily rely on the school systems to do it. Have conversations in your families. Start with your children at a young age, telling them the truth and sitting down as a family and, you know, engaging with your local First Nation in a way. We always have, you know, powwow trail right now. Every weekend there's a powwow in one of our nations in this province, and everyone is welcome. You know, it's a beautiful day, food, singing, dancing, fun times. Everyone's always welcome that way, right? It's a good time to engage with your local First Nation. So just be brave, right? It's tough to, like, learn new things that are kind of, you know, emotionally stir up emotions, or you feel like you just nervous, right? But be brave and reach out. And the thing about Indigenous people is that we're, you know, we have a lot of kindness, and we're happy to share. We're happy to engage. We're happy to have anybody come in and learn and be with us. So, you know, just that would be my advice. So, always be willing to listen, right? We have two ears, so we listen more than we talk. You know, if you want to know, ask somebody. We're everywhere in society now. Just don't be shy, I guess.
And I just want to add to that and highlight Ontario Health offers Indigenous relationship and cultural awareness courses. There's 13 individual courses, and they're free to anybody and can be accessed on Ontario Health's website. And so I encourage people working with Indigenous people that want to engage and learn more, that's a place that you can go to get some information and some learning.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for the really tangible things that we can all do to improve the situation. I think these topics can be very difficult, and it's a lot of trauma that underlies this history, and I really appreciate you both being with me here today to, you know, provide some insight and some education and like a drop in that pond for us all to hopefully bring us more healing as individuals, as societies. And thank you so much for doing the really important fundamental work that you do. So thank you so much, Dr. Samantha Beauchart and Rachel Sutherland, for taking the time to speak with us today. If listeners have any questions about this podcast or need any support or resources to navigate your experience, I encourage you to connect with the community services lead in your region. For more information, visit bloodcancers.ca. If you liked our podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can find us wherever you access your favorite podcasts. We also welcome any ideas for our program, so we would love to hear from you. Send us an email with your suggestions or comments at info@bloodcancers.ca. Until next time, stay well and stay connected.